So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was the devil. Thought I was the devil.
Welcome to Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. This is Stacy Lunsford, and I welcome you. I pray that you were blessed by praise and worship. Tonight is going to be a different format, and we're going to open up with prayer, and I'm going to ask everyone on the line to say a prayer and to pray whatever God places on your heart to pray. And after prayer, after the last person prays, then I will say a prayer. And the first person, please open up with prayer. Thank you so much.
Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come to you this evening, gathered in your name. We thank you for your presence today, Father God. We thank you for your word that will go forth tonight in power and might in the name of Jesus. We thank we have a heart to receive your uncompromised word and be a doer of your word, not only here. We lift up the message and the messenger this evening, Father God. We thank you for the anointing that's on your word to break the yoke of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name.
Next person. Can the next person pray, please? Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you, O God. We magnify you and we glorify you. We exalt you and we extol you. We give you all of the honor. We give you all of the glory, God. We give you all of the praise because you alone are worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, O God, you are worthy to be praised. We will bless the Lord at all times, and your praise will continually be in our mouths. Our soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we welcome you into this place, Jesus. We welcome you into this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. Rabashanda Rabasidi Kanda Rikanda Rabashata Rokorobo Sidi Kanda Rabashata. Father, we dedicate this line to you. We thank you for being glorified tonight. We ask that you would bless this prayer line, God. We ask that you would bless everybody on this prayer line, Father. We thank you for releasing a fresh anointing right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for moving by your spirit. We thank you, Father, for cleansing us of all unrighteousness. Father, we stand on your word, and we give you back your word in Psalms 51 and verse 10 that says, create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew in us a right spirit. Father, we ask that you would make us over. Oh God, we ask that you would wash us tonight. We thank you for the blood covering, oh God. We thank you for washing us with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for purifying us, oh God. We thank you for sanctifying us, Father. We thank you for consecrating us. And we thank you, Father, for your word in Romans 12 and verse 1 that says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we thank you for what it means to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, O God. We thank you that we are acceptable to you, God. And we thank you for all of those areas, Father, where we never felt that we was worthy enough for your love, God. Worthy enough to receive your forgiveness. Worthy enough to receive your bountiful blessing. Father, we thank you for the word, the song that went forth, and the words say, you thought I was worth saving. So, Father, we just thank you and we praise you for counting us worthy tonight, for loving us so much that you looked beyond our faults and you saw our needs, God. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son into this world. Thank you for loving us so much, Jesus, that you gave up your life for us because you thought that we was worthy. And it's not that you thought we was worthy. You knew that we was worthy, even in our flawed condition. So we just want to say thank you. Father, we just want to praise you. We just want to give you the honor and the glory because, God, you are worthy to be praised. So many people were excited about Resurrection Sunday, and people was talking about the work of Jesus, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and all that the work of the cross represents. And God, Easter is what a lot of people call it, and Resurrection Sunday, it doesn't matter what they say. It, what matters is what they know. And the truth is that Jesus, he died. He was buried, and he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. And we don't want to celebrate Jesus just on Resurrection Sunday. We want to celebrate Jesus every day because Jesus is Lord. And we ask that you would give us more revelation into the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means to us. Show us, Father, how we are also doing the same thing that Jesus did. We thank you for our life. We thank you for our death. We thank you for our burial. And we thank you for our resurrection. Because, God, we must die to self on a daily basis. So I call forth a spirit of repentance right now in the mighty name of Jesus as we stand on your word, God. Father, we want nothing to hinder this prayer from going forward. So, Father, we repent. In the name of Jesus, we call forth a spirit of repentance according to your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Father, we ask that you forgive us for all of our sins. We ask that you forgive us for every sin that we ever committed against you, against one another, God. Father, we ask that you forgive us for the things that we thought wrong. Forgive us for the things that we still think wrong. Forgive us for having a wrong mindset, for thinking about the wrong things, for thinking about negative things, for having a negative expectancy. Forgive us, Father, for the times that we have doubted you. Forgive us, oh God, for being double-minded. Forgive us, oh God, for being unstable in all of our ways. God, I bind that double-minded spirit, Rabashanda Rabasidi Kanda, and I loose a single mind, a mind that will be stayed on you, God. For you said in your word, if we keep our mind stayed on you, that you would keep us in perfect peace. And if we trust you, oh God, you said that you would lead us into your path of righteousness for your name's sake. Father, we stand on your word. Your word is all we have. And we celebrate you tonight because you are a promise keeper. Father, we ask that you forgive us for every open sin. We ask that you forgive us for every secret sin. We ask that you forgive us for every hidden sin. We ask that you forgive us for those sins of omission and those sins of commission. Father, we ask that you would search us tonight. Search our hearts, oh God, and everything that you find that's not pleasing to you. Bring it to us, oh God, so that we can correct what we have been doing wrong. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, God. Father, we thank you for helping us to apply your word to every area of our lives. We thank you, Father, that you said, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old, but to behold the new thing that is springing forth. So we thank you tonight. We thank you for blessing our nation, God. We thank you for blessing our government. We thank you for blessing our president, God. And we cover him with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his salvation. We thank you for his healing. We thank you for his deliverance, God. Father, we cancel every assignment of the enemy against his life. And we break every curse that's been spoken against him. We break every fiery dart and we send it back to the sender. 100-fold return. Father, we ask that you would remove the scales from the eyes of your people that continuously put their mouth on him. And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It doesn't matter what he is doing wrong, God, they are not supposed to put their mouth on him. And by putting their mouth on him, they are changing the way things are going to go in this nation. Father, we pray for those that speak out of their ignorance. We pray for those that speak out of hatred. We pray for those that speak out of racism. We pray for those that speak out of resentment and bitterness, oh God, not understanding that the resentment, it prolongs the hurt, and that the bitterness does not promote healing, but it increases the spirit of rage. And rage is taking over this country, and we bind the spirit of rage. We bind the spirit of anger right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask that y'all pray with me. Rabashanda Rabashidi Kanda. Father, we bind the spirit of hatred, and we loose the spirit of love. We loose your love that covers a multitude of sins. Father, we thank you that love is the antidote. We thank you for President Trump, God. We ask that you would capture his heart. We ask that you would capture his mind. We thank you for raising up intercessors that will pray your will in his life. Father, we pray for those that are encamped around him, that know you, that love you, that is giving him godly counsel. But Father, we pray that you would give him an ear to hear. We pray that you would remove the scales from his eyes so that he will see his error, oh God, and that he will humble himself and repent, God. We pray for his family. We pray for his wife, God. We pray for the brokenness there. We thank you for everything that's just being broadcast and for all the world to see, God. We thank you that there are so many areas of division with him being in office. We thank you for division in the House of Representatives, the Republicans, the Democrats. Father, we thank you for unity. We thank you for harmonious relationships. And we thank you, Father God, for taking them back to the basics. We thank you, Father, for letting them do right by the people. And we thank you for letting the people do right by lifting their eyes into the hills from which cometh their help, knowing that our help comes from you, and that, God, we must do something different. so that we can receive something that we never had before. Because this country is in a state of emergency. And we cry out in the name of Jesus, asking that you would have mercy, God. Asking that you would move by your spirit. Asking that you will hear our humble cry. Father, you said that when we call out to you, that you would answer us and you would show us great and mighty things. And tonight, God, we call out to you, Father God, and ask that you would teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray for our government. Teach us how to pray for our civic leaders, God. Teach us how to pray for our city officials. Teach us how to pray for the mayors and for the governors. We lift them up right now, and we thank you that protocols are changing, laws are changing in favor of your people, oh God. Father, we thank you for the youth today. We thank you for the children today. We thank you for the young adults today, God. We thank you for covering them with the precious blood of your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for protecting them from all harm and all danger. We thank you for those that are crying out to you for help, God. And we thank you for hearing their humble cry tonight. We thank you for moving by your spirit. We thank you for tearing down every demonic and satanic wall, God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for making a way of escape, oh God. We thank you for removing them from the places where they are being abused, where they are being neglected, God, where they are being harmed. Father, we pray for their minds right now in the name of Jesus. We pray for those young adults, for those children, for the teenagers that are being harassed and molested and bullied. And Father, in their mind, they got so many thoughts going on, and they don't know who to listen to. But God, we ask that you would silence the voice of the enemy. We ask that you would calm their spirit. We ask that you would send a spirit of peace right now in the name of Jesus, your peace that passes all understanding, and allow them to quiet their spirit so that they can hear you, oh God. Father, we decree right now in the name of Jesus that the children hear you calling unto them, oh God, telling them to come walk this way. We thank you that they hear your voice, God. We thank you that they will not harden their heart. We thank you that they will open up their hearts to you, God. Father, we pray for the children in school, God. We thank you for academic success. And we thank you, Father God, for leading and guiding them into your path of righteousness. We thank you for parents. We thank you for blessing parents today with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Thank you for the parents that are discouraged. Thank you for the parents that are encouraged. Thank you for the parents that are struggling to make ends meet. We call forth for financial blessing and a financial breakthrough right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, as I come to a close, we thank you for spiritual leaders tonight. We thank you for blessing your spiritual leaders. We thank you for blessing your spiritual leaders, God, those that you have called, those that you have appointed, those that you have anointed. And we lift them up to you tonight. Thanking you for blessing them, thanking you for strengthening them, God, thanking you for encouraging them, thanking you for leading them into your path of righteousness for your name's sake. And Father, we ask that you bless everything that is going to transpire tonight. We're not going to be long, and we just want to thank you for the opportunity for intercessory prayer. Thank you for being glorified, God. Thank you for being exalted. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. Amen. So God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm not going to be before you long, and I want to talk briefly about Psalms 52 in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. And tonight is going to be interactive. And the reason I feel led to talk about this scripture is because we need a makeover. There are so many things that have contaminated the body of Christ. There are so many things that have contaminated our own lives, our thought process, our hurt, our pain. There are so many walls that we built up to protect ourselves, to defend ourselves. And we need to learn how to relinquish our hurt. We need to learn how to relinquish our pain. And we need to learn how to let go of every negative thing that has ever happened to us in our lives. And wherever that hurt is, whatever reaction that hurt caused, whatever triggers that pain, whatever triggers that hurt, let's start to identify those things so that we can be healed. So this topic, excuse me, is going to be, I really didn't have a topic, but spiritual cleansing is what's standing out to me. And so when we started the spiritual cleansing series, we talked about cleaning the refrigerator, which symbolically was cleaning our hearts and allowing the Holy Spirit to remove the impurities, to remove everything that's not pleasing to Him. So create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. The author of that psalm is King David. King David was a man after God's own heart. He was a great warrior. He started out, he was a little shepherd boy. He was anointed to be king at a very young age. And he was a direct report to his father, Benjamin. And when Samuel, the prophet, came to anoint one of Benjamin's sons, he looked at all of the sons and none of the ones was chosen. That was great warriors, that was tall, that had everything that appeared to be what a king should be. But God did not choose any of them. So what was it about David? And I believe that David had a pure heart. I believe that David loved God. David had a relationship with God. And David, he killed a lion and he killed a bear. We're talking about a little shepherd boy. I don't care what was going on. I don't care how big that bear was or how big that lion was. When it came down to those sheep, David knew what his job was. And his job was to protect the sheep. And that's what he did. So David was a great warrior. David was a great intercessor. He was a minstrel. He was, hold on.
Okay, I was driving. Can y'all hear me better now? Hello? Gertrude, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, because I was driving. I just got in the driveway, so I'm going to talk, so I don't feel like I'm yelling. So David was a great warrior. He was a great praise and worship leader. He was a minstrel, and he was a man after God's own heart. As David was maturing in his role as a soldier after he was anointed by Samuel, he continued to be, you know, to take care of the sheep. But when he went to the battlefield, his father sent him to the battlefield to check on his brothers and to take some food, some cheese and wine. And when he got there, he was disappointed to see that the Israelites was actually afraid of the Philistines because of the giant Goliath. Now, Goliath was threatening them, and they refused to go forward. And David was like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living God? So I'm taking the time to just build up to why he wrote Psalms 51 and verse 10. And I want to identify all of the positive things that he did before we get to the negative thing that he did. Because we all fall short of the glory of God, and no matter what we do, we should always be quick to repent and ask God to forgive us for the things that we have done wrong in His sight. And we need to do that throughout the day. And one of the reasons we should do that, because it allows the spirit of rejection, it allows the spirit of condemnation to back up off of us. When we're not quick to repent, that thing can grow. And you will, if you don't ask God to forgive you, it's like that thing will hinder your relationship with God. So David
He fights Goliath. We all know the story about the five stones. He took the stone and the slingshot, and he hit Goliath in the middle of his forehead, and Goliath fell down dead. And David ran over and took the sword out of the sheath, and he cut off Goliath's head. So he won the victory with the first shot when he fell down. But deliverance came, and I say this all of the time when I talk about it, but deliverance came when he took Goliath's sword out of his sheath and he cut off Goliath's head. So now Saul, King Saul, see this great warrior. So he assigns David to his army. He was not allowed to go back home to his family. No longer was he going to attend to the sheep. Now he was going to fight in the army of the Lord. So Saul, King Saul, was a great warrior. And David was also a great warrior. David killed more people than King Saul did. King Saul was a good king. He was obedient to God, but there were some things that he failed to do that got him in trouble by not completing all of God's instructions to kill all of the Amalekites. He didn't do that. So he got in trouble for that. The next thing, King Saul got jealous of David because David killed more people than him. So right there, I want to talk about creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renewing me a right spirit. So we're going to stop here for a moment and jump into First Chronicles, the 12th chapter, and talk about the spiritual gifts for a moment. If we truly understood the spiritual gifts, and a lot of this is really just a repeat of some of the things that we have went over, but the spiritual gifts are gifts that God has given to us. They are the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and they are the revelatory gifts, they are the power gifts, and they are the utterance gifts. The utterance gifts are gifts that say something. The power gifts are gifts that do something. And the revelatory gifts are gifts that do something. We all have gifts. God has endowed each and every one of us with the gift. But the gifts are not for us. The gifts are for the body of Christ. So God gifted King Saul to be a great warrior. And he was. And he was a great leader. But God also gifted David to be a great shepherd keeper. He blessed him to be a great warrior. He blessed him to be a great musician, a great worship leader. And so why am I pointing that out? King Saul's gifts was no better than David's gifts, because David wasn't king yet. So Gertrude, your gifts are no greater than my gifts. And Annie, your gifts are no greater than Gertrude's gifts. All of our gifts are given to us by God to encourage one another. It's not for us. It's to bless God's people. So if we had proper understanding of that, there would be no room for jealousy. There would be no room for envy. There would be no room for strife and contention and dissension and division and separation. But yet, here we have this awesome king, and he got jealous because King David killed more people than he did during the battle. So he allowed the spirit of offense to enter his heart, followed by the spirit of pride, the spirit of jealousy, and the spirit of envy. And all of these spirits opened the door to the spirit of assassination. So we're talking about creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renewing me a right spirit. And I know I said we're going to talk about David, but can we talk about King Saul for a minute? He walked with God. God called him. God chose him. God anointed him. He walked upright before God for a long time. But along the way, he got led astray because he chose to steal God's glory. What are you doing with God's glory today? Are you acknowledging God for everything that is happening in your life? Do you recognize that it is God that has blessed you? Do you recognize it is God that takes care of you every day? Do you realize that every successful thing that has happened in your life, it happened because God blessed you? Do you realize that there is nothing that we can do apart from God? And apart from God, everything we do is going to fail. When we don't have God in it, it may work for a while, but really it ain't going to work the way God wanted to work. So let's go back to King David. King David was a humble man. King David, he didn't care about all of the accolades, because when they were singing, King Saul killed 5,000. David killed 10,000. And my numbers might be off, so don't judge me on that. But it didn't matter to David. David didn't allow it to go to his head. So he stayed humble. So David knew that King Saul didn't like him anymore, because King Saul threw a javelin at him and tried to kill him. So that's where that spirit assassination came in. So David continues to do his work. He continues to be faithful to King Saul, because he understood that he was not to touch God's anointed. He understood that that was the king, and it was his job to protect King Saul. It was his job to warn King Saul when the enemy was coming. So now we have King Saul want to kill David. So David talks with Jonathan. They have this talk. Jonathan told him, well, I'm going to, you know, check with my dad and see how he really feel about you, and meet me at this place, and we're going to come back and I'll let you know what to do. So it turns out that Jonathan told David that he had to leave because his dad was going to try and kill him. So David is on the run now. David is now an outlaw being hunted by the king. How can you be a chosen vessel of God and turn around and harm the very person that saved you and all of Israel with his war technique, with how gifted he was? So pride, envy, strife, jealousy are some of the things that we need to address, because it contaminates our heart. So that's everything that happened with King Saul. Now, when King Saul had an opportunity to humble himself and repent, remember I prayed about 2 Chronicles 7:14, call forth a spirit of repentance. King Saul refused to humble himself. He refused to repent. And as a result, King Saul ended up dying, but he lost the throne, which brings us back to David. David was anointed to be king at a young age. He had to go through some things. It didn't happen overnight. God promised us some things. It didn't happen overnight. We had to go through some things. We're still going through some things, creating us a clean heart, oh God, and renewing us a right spirit. Because along the way, we got mistreated like David. Along the way, jealousy from other people. When we started operating in our spiritual gifts, they didn't see the Holy Ghost. They just saw the gifts being used on a greater level, and they felt like they could do it better than we could do it, just like King Saul thought he could do it better than David could do it. So here comes the spirit of jealousy, and here comes the spirit of envy, and here comes the spirit of pride. And what do we do? Well, David chose to humble himself. When we humble ourselves before the Lord will lift us up. When we refuse to humble ourselves, we get in trouble like King Saul did. So now David is appointed king after Saul dies, and he should have been out in the battlefield with his soldiers, but he was home resting, and he was restless. So he looks up on the rooftop, and he sees Bathsheba bathing, and he was attracted to her, and so he sent for her. And Bathsheba came, and he had sex with her. So Bathsheba was married to Uriah, who was out on the battlefield, and David was also married, but he didn't care. He saw her. He wanted her. Remember, he was a man after God's own heart, but now he's struggling with the spirit of lust. So not only is he struggling with the spirit of lust, he's struggling with the spirit of perversion, because everything is getting distorted in his mind. And pride is in operation, and most people don't bring out the spirit of pride with David right here, because they focus so much on the adultery that he committed with Bathsheba. But if I could just for a moment take you to David and his attitude when he looked and saw her, he did not care that she was married. He didn't even care that he was married. He wanted what he wanted. And because he was king, he said, I could take what I want. That's pride. That's haughtiness. How do you think you can have what belongs to somebody else? Well, that's what he thought. That's what he did. He had sex with Bathsheba. Bathsheba got pregnant. So now David said, I'm going to call Uriah off the battlefield and send him home with Bathsheba so that he can have sex with her so he could get blamed for being the father of her baby. Well, Uriah was so faithful to the call on his life to be a warrior. He didn't want to go home and freshen up and have food and have relations with his wife while his men was out on the battlefield. So he stayed outside of David's house. And so David said, okay, let me have, break bread with him. Let me get him drunk, and then he'll surely go home to his wife. Well, he still chose to stay. He didn't go home. So now David had to decide what he was going to do. And here comes the spirit assassination again. So David places Uriah on the hottest part of the fire, of the battle, where he was on the front line, guaranteed to get killed. Now, he was one of the best soldiers that he had, but he placed him in the hottest part of the fire so that he can be killed. So David committed murder to cover up his sinful act with Bathsheba, which was the act of adultery, having sex outside of your marriage. So now David continues to go on with his life like nothing was wrong, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. Could it be that David was operating in the spirit of error? Could it be? Because he said, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. Why did he ask God to renew in him a right spirit? Well, he knew that he was operating in a wrong spirit, because he knew that he should have never had sex with Bathsheba. So right here, I want to point out, sometimes we jump over the truth to believe a lie because it makes us feel good, because it satisfies our flesh, because it satisfies that lustful craving, that lustful desire that we have inside of us. And guess what? God knows about those lustful thoughts we have. It may not be sex. It could be food. It could be TV. It could be something you read. Some of us lust after just anger. We love being angry. We love being bitter. We love being resentful. Whatever your lust is, revisit that tonight. Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. So now David calls for Bathsheba to come be with him to be his wife. And the word doesn't say anything about Bathsheba. It doesn't talk about the grieving that she went through, because their baby ended up dying. But the word doesn't say Bathsheba grieved. It doesn't say she cried. It doesn't say she mourned. It doesn't say anything about her. The whole focus was on David. So while everybody looking at David, who at this time was weeping and crying and praying and seeking God, calling out to God, oh, God, have mercy on my son. Oh, God, please just let him live. Oh, God, I'm so sorry for what I did. Please forgive me for sinning against you. If you would spare my son's life, I'll never sin against you again. And I'm just saying things. I don't know how he prayed, but I'm just saying those things as an example. So David was just crying out to God. And all of his servants was trying to get him to eat, and he didn't want to eat. So then when they bring word, David knew that his son died because it got kind of quiet. And the messengers come, and they tell him that his son died. So he gets up. He takes a shower, put on clean clothes. He gets something to eat. And they're saying, why is he going to get up and eat now? And David said, can my son come back to me now that he is dead? So why should I stay in that place of mourning? So key point number one, what has died in your life that you're still grieving over that you need to let go? And I'm not saying you can't grieve over it. God wants us to grieve. We all grieve differently. But what's that one thing that's hurting you so bad that you are grieving excessively over it? And you crying so much about it
that is preventing you from moving forward with the things that God is calling you to do, because that hurt is controlling you. That hurt is like your motivation for everything that you do, and it doesn't allow you to be free in the things of God. It doesn't allow you to be free in your mind, in your thinking, in your speaking, and even with how you love. Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. So Bathsheba couldn't grieve the death of her baby, and now David is eating and he's going on with his life, because now he know that this child was the price that had to be paid. Temporary pleasures have hidden price tags. So their first child died because it was an adulterous relationship. The baby had to be the sacrifice. Remember I said Romans 12:1, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. Sometimes we have to be the sacrifice. It's all about choices. God doesn't make us do anything that we don't want to do. But his word says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he said, I beseech you. That was urgent. It was like, I'm urging you. I'm really encouraging you to present your body to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So are you a living sacrifice? Are you daily being made into a spiritual house of worship? Do you have a clean house or do you have a dirty house? Do you have a clean heart or do you have a dirty heart? And when I ask, do you have a clean house, you know, creating me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. Yes, our heart is a compartment. Our heart holds all of the things that has happened to us. If you think about an apartment or you think about a house, it has different rooms. Our hearts have different places where we've been hurt. It have different places where we have joy. It have different places where we have pain. It have different places where we have happiness. It's all of the stuff that we think about, we meditate on, is right there in our heart. It's right there in our mind. It's right there in our emotions. And I want you to really ask yourself, what room can you go in right now and honestly say that that room is clean? And if you can't say that that room is honestly clean, that's a good place to say, God, creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit in this room right here. The living room is real dirty, God. This is the room that I live in. I live in this room that's full of pain. Everything in this room, in this living room, right here in my heart, right here on this corner, everything that ever hurt me in my life, I'm not talking about just the basic, you know, hurts and pains. God, I'm talking about the deep, deep-rooted, seated humiliation, shame, betrayal, deception. I just don't know how I made it to be where I am today. But, God, everything that ever hurt me is in this room. And I've kept it in that room because I refuse to let it go. And it's hurting me so bad. And I don't know how to let it go now because I got so used to it, I'm attached to it. So, God, can you show me how to relinquish it? Can you show me how to let it go? I want to grant you access to this living room so that everything that's dead in this living room can be washed away, can be cleansed, so that I can learn how to live in my living room instead of dying in my living room. This is a living room because it's a place where we come to live, not where we come to die. So, God, I want to take off my mourning clothes, mourning. The word of God says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Are you ready to rejoice? Are you ready to count it all joy? Are you ready to praise God because it's mourning, mourning? If you are ready to take off your grave clothes, then tell God thank you. If you are ready to take off your burial clothes, if you are ready to stop praying like a widow and start praying like a bride, then join me in saying, God created me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit. So let's go back to David. David cried out to God and asked him to create in him a clean heart and to renew in him a right spirit. This happened after the prophet Nathan came to David and told him about what he did. And when he told David what he did, the very first thing David did was he stood accountable for his actions. He repented and asked God to forgive him, which is where Psalms 51, verse 10 comes from. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. David had an opportunity to tell Nathan, so what? I know what I did, and I'm not going to change. What happened, happened. I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to humble myself. I'm not going to repent. And you know what? If he would have chose that road, the same thing would have happened to him like King Saul, and he would have lost his kingdom. And then he would have lost more than that baby that died. But he humbled himself because David was a man after God's own heart. David humbled himself, and he taught us how to cry out to God when we fall short of God's glory. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. So God forgave David. And even when the prophet Nathan, when David repented, God told the prophet Nathan to tell him that he was not going to die. But he told him that he was going to go through some things in his family. And David did go through some things. But everything that David did, his whole life throughout the whole stories in the Bible about David, he was quick to repent. He was quick to ask God to forgive him. So where are you today? Are you quick to repent, or are you quick to cover up and hide under the things that you do wrong, say wrong, and think wrong? Do you expose your sin to God, or do you hide your sin from God? God is El Roi. He is the God that sees all things. He knows everything. He is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and he's everything in between. There is nothing that we have done that he does not know about. If we do good, he knows. If we do bad, he knows. If we sad, he knows. If we happy, he knows. If we're broken, he knows. If we whole, he knows. When we sad, when we want to curse somebody out in traffic, and sometimes we do, he knows. I don't care what we do. God look at our heart. He look at our motives. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we say the things that we say? Are we prideful? Are we haughty? Are we humble? Are we meek and lowly? These are some of the things that you need to ask yourself, because I can't tell you where you are, and I'm not here to judge you. I just want to get myself right. I know that I need to cry out to God and say, God, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit every day, because it is so quick, easy to operate in the wrong spirit. When we operate in the spirit of error and is coupled with the spirit of pride, we think we right, but we wrong. And we quick to put our mouth on other people, not realizing that 3, 4, 5 fingers is pointing back at you, and God is looking at you and saying, get the beam out your own eye. Clean up your own heart. Clean up your own mess. Instead of worrying about somebody else, we're talking about creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. Which brings me back to the prayer with Donald Trump. So many people are putting their mouth on him, and they need to cry out to God for themselves, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. The body of Christ need to humble herself and repent. Black people, white people, Spanish people, Muslims, all nationalities, all of these races, all of these different religions, guess what? They all are displaying the highest level of disdain and hatred I've ever seen in my life. But yet they talk about God and how God is a God of love when they demonstrate in hate, creating us a clean heart, O God, and renewing us a right spirit. We need to rebuke the spirit of hypocrisy, because we live as hypocrites. We live as cowards. We live being fearful of what people say, and we don't want to stand up and do what God say. We don't want to say, speak what God said. When God has not given us a spirit of fear, God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. So we got to make up our minds. Are we going to please man, or are we going to please God? Which brings me back to the similarities of King Saul and King David. King Saul, he was doing great when he was seeking to please God. When he sought to please the people, he disappointed God. He fell short of the glory of God. But God, extending his grace and his mercy, wanted to restore King Saul. But King Saul, operating in the spirit of pride, said, God, I'm not going to humble myself. I like where I am. I like what I'm doing. I'm not going to listen to you. So he did what he wanted to do. Cursed is the man that put his trust in man. Saul began to put his trust in himself. He got puffed up just like Lucifer got puffed up. Lucifer is the devil, Satan himself. When he was in heaven, he was created, and his name was Lucifer. Lucifer had pipes and minstrels and instruments all in him. He was praise and worship, but he thought he was better than God. And so his pride got him kicked out of heaven, and he took 2/3 of angels with him. And all of this spiritual warfare that we go through, he is in charge of all of that. And every day he's trying to get us to do something to turn our backs on God. He's trying to do something to make us fall short of the glory of God so that he can laugh at us, so that he can talk about us. But really, he wants to kill, steal, and to destroy us. But God, Jesus came so that we may have life and have life more abundant. So the bottom line is, in order for us to have an abundant life, that Jesus died for us, we have to have a right spirit, and we have to have a clean heart. So create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. When I opened up, I said, what does that scripture mean to you? So I thank you so much for joining us. This is a Rise and Shine for Jesus, our Thursday night worship service, and our topic tonight was creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. When it was all done and said, King Saul died because he chose to rebel against God. And rebellion is like witchcraft. He was stubborn. He was into idolatry. He really idolized himself. And when we idolize ourselves, we fall in love with ourselves, and you know, that pride is in there, and we think about us with everything we do, everything we say. You could be talking to somebody, and, you know, you're trying to have a two-way conversation, and it ends up being about that person. No matter what you say, it ends up being about them. If you did it, they did that before, and they did it better than you, and just, all, you know, the competition and the rivalry. So I pray that you saw some of the spirits in operation through Saul and through David, and with the spirit of assassination. I'm going to be doing a teach on that. I'm getting my material together for that. But the spirit of assassination is running rampant in the body of Christ, because the entrance is the open door is the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of envy, the spirit of division and separation. There was once unity between King Saul and David. But when King Saul got jealous of David, and he got jealous of him, and then that spirit of assassination came in there because he wanted to kill him. So who wants to kill you today because they're jealous of you? Who wants to kill you today because they're envious of you? God said in his word that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. They will form, but they won't prosper. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. When you get some time, read all of Psalms 51, because that is a prayer, that is a psalm of repentance. And it is the prayer that David prayed when after he sinned with Bathsheba. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this message tonight. We pray that you will bless this word, that it'll fall on good soil. We thank you for ministering to the hearts and minds of your people. Show us the areas of our heart, God, where there is envy, where there is strife, where there is jealousy, where there is division, where there is separation, where there is a spirit of assassination. Father, forgive us for all of the times that we looked at other people and what they do, and we thought we could do it better, or we could say it better, or I could wear that hat better. Father, we bind the spirit of competition and the spirit of rivalry in the body of Christ, in marriages, in relationships, with brothers and sisters, with mothers and daughters and fathers and sons. And Father, we just ask for
a spirit of unity like never before. Unity in homes, unity in the body of Christ, unity on the workforce, God, in the workforce, unity in the prisons, God, unity in our government, unity, God, in our political system, unity, Father, with our educational system, unity, Father, in our hospitals, God. Even in the hospitals, in the operating room, jealousy, envy, strife, the spirit of assassination, verbal abuse, God. These things should not be. Father, we ask for more love, God. We thank you that your word says that love covers a multitude of sins. And Father, when David sinned against you, you didn't embarrass him and let the whole world know about it. You sent Nathan to speak to him privately. And so I thank you for letting that be a key prayer point that we could walk away with, God, because when we see other people fall short of the glory of God, we shouldn't go broadcast it and embarrass them. We should go privately to them only if you tell us to. And if you don't tell us to, help us to just privately pray in our own closet and mind our business after we pray and not put our mouths on it. Father, we stand in intercessory prayer for the body of Christ. And we thank you for all of those that have fallen short of the glory of God but don't see that they fell. David didn't see it. I mean, I believe David still saw it, but he didn't care. He thought he was getting away with it, God. But we never get away with sinning against you, and sin separates us from you. And we feel that separation, God. When we're walking with you and then we do what we want to do, God, we know that we sinned against you because we hurt you. And we feel your hurt. We feel your disappointment. And we feel our own hurt and our own disappointment. But, Father, we thank you for teaching us about repentance, true repentance, because true repentance brings about healing in the land. So we thank you in advance. Thank you for blessing everybody on this prayer line. Thank you for blessing those that couldn't be here. Thank you for blessing the truck drivers tonight. Thank you for blessing Walter, Eddie, Reggie, Yolanda, and Jamie, Lord, and all of the visiting truck drivers that's been coming to the line. Thank you for blessing truck drivers all over this world. Thank you for blessing marriages. Thank you for blessing relationships. Thank you for blessing homes, God. Thank you for creating in all of us in this whole world a clean heart and renewing in us a right spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The prayer line is open for comments.
A good message. Powerful message. And that's why we have to examine ourselves when we and what's the motive behind our actions, so we can examine our motives in our heart and what is the purpose and what are we trying to accomplish for God or the body of Christ and for ourselves. And like you said, our emotions make us do things that are not really necessary. And sometimes once you do an action, you cannot take that action back and have consequences that you're eventually going to have to pay for.
So true. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And it really is a message that, you know, and this was all from my heart. I didn't, you know, I had just left the job because I had a long distance run, and I turned in my paperwork and I got in the car and I started the song and I said, I'm going to praise God on this highway. And I made it home safe, thank God. But I was so busy singing the song that I went through a red light, and I'm looking at the car like, what is this car doing? And I couldn't say anything. But I said, oh, my gosh, I'm wrong. Because, I mean, I was singing, bye-bye so long. And silently, I'm like, oh, God, forgive me. I almost caused an accident, but I was thanking him that another car wasn't coming the opposite direction because they would have tore me up. So I thank God for his provisional care. But
I was like, Lord, I don't know, you know, I don't have anything prepared. I mean, I did. I knew I wanted us to pray tonight. And that's something that we're going to start doing is pray a little more. But this message needed to be shared tonight, excuse me, because it's serious. And we're living at a time right now where we all need to make better choices and better decisions of the things that we're doing because there are consequences. And I always say temporary pleasures have hidden price tags. And God is not playing. And we in a season right now where we have to be very careful about the seeds that we are sowing because we're going to reap what we sow like never before. And a lot of people that's really going through right now, and I'm not saying everything is like something that they did, but we're going to have to ask ourselves, am I reaping or am I sowing? Mm-hmm. And so remember I said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The time is coming. See, a lot of us, we have sown in tears. And our season is here to reap a harvest. So where it was sadness, where it was brokenness, where it was despair, where it was betrayal, where it was rejection, where it was poverty, where it was lack of funds, lack of food. Let me tell you something. Money is coming. Restoration is coming. Healing is coming. Joy is coming. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. If joy cometh in the morning, that means it ain't going to be no more weeping. It's no more tears. Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. If weeping may endure for a night, that means I'm going to cry. I'm going to go through some things, but it's not going to last forever. Yes. Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And if we have enough faith, we could say that joy cometh in the morning in the midst of the storm. If we have enough faith, we could say weeping may endure for a night. I might be crying right now. I might be sad right now. I might be hurting right now, but it's not going to last long. This too shall pass. I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord because God said, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And when they got in the boat to go to the other side, the storm wind started blowing and the waves started crashing. And then they found out that their faith wasn't really where they thought it was. You see, they was rolling with Jesus. They was like, I'm with Jesus, and I'm growing, and I'm walking, and I'm learning, and I'm watching him perform these miracles. But Jesus was down on the under the ship sleep when this storm rose up. And so they go running, Jesus, care not that we perish. And Jesus looking at them like, what's up with y'all? Y'all been walking with me and y'all been all, you know, people see y'all with me and y'all all acting like y'all the big dogs. You know, I want to break this down because they thought they was all that. But then when those storm winds started blowing, they punked out. So Jesus wake up and he come and he like, I could just imagine him stretching. Yawning like, y'all woke me up out of my sleep for this. And he said, peace be still. And it stopped instantly. And he said, oh, ye of little faith. And they probably looked at each other like, wow, that's all we had to do was speak to that storm and it would have stopped. But not only did they say that, they tried to stop Peter from getting out of the boat and walk on water. Peter, you know you can't swim. Annie, you know you can't swim. Gertrude, you know you can't swim. Stacy, you know you can't swim. You better not get out of that boat. And so Peter looked at them like, look, y'all walking with Jesus, acting like y'all all that, but y'all acting like punks and scared to stay, get out of the boat, so y'all going to stay in y'all comfort zone. But don't put your mouth on me because I believe Jesus, and I'm going to get out of this boat, and I'm going to show you what my faith can do. And Peter showed them because Peter got out of the boat and Peter walked on water. But Peter got distracted when he looked at the storm winds that started blowing and the waves that started coming up. If he would have stayed focused on Jesus, he would have walked all the way over to Jesus. But he began to sink, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. Father, I've been on this path, and I've been walking before you, and my desire is to please you, but there's been some distractions, there's been some hindrances, there's been some seducing spirits that came to get me off track. But God, there's some things inside of me that got me off track. You know, there's some things that has triggered me in my heart. There's some things that triggered me in my mind. There's some things that triggered me in my spirit. And I realize that I'm still angry about some things. There's a little bit of bitterness and there's some resentment. And Stacy prayed earlier, God, and she said that resentment doesn't allow the healing process to begin. It only hinders and prolongs it. So we need to let go of the resentment. And we need to be honest with ourselves and acknowledge those areas where we have resentment, where we have bitterness, where we have aught in our heart. Because as long as we allow it to be there, guess what? Psalm 66, it says, if we have aught in our heart, God is not even going to hear our prayers. So if God's not hearing your prayers, why are you waiting for him to answer your prayer? You can wait all day long. You can wait till Jesus come back. If you keep aught in your heart till Jesus come back, God ain't hearing your prayers. God ain't answering your prayers. Oh, creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renewing me a right spirit. God, we bind, we rebuke, and we cast out the spirit of unforgiveness in the name of Jesus. And we loose the spirit of forgiveness, God. We loose a forgiven heart. Father, we receive your forgiveness. We receive the fullness of your forgiveness. And we forgive ourselves. We thank you for forgiving, letting us forgive those that we have hurt. Father, let those that we have hurt forgive us. Let them release us. Let them bless us, oh God. And we forgive those that have hurt us. We bless those that have hurt us. And we release those that have hurt us, oh God. We no longer hold a tab over their head saying that they owe us. And Father, some of us have been waiting for apologies, for people to apologize for what they did. Father, those people ain't going to apologize. Some people might apologize. But we waiting for something that's not going to take place. And we waiting for something that Jesus already died on the cross for, because Jesus died for the remission of all of our sins. And Jesus died in our place. It should have been us that was hung up on the cross, but Jesus died for us. But yet we can't forgive one another because we don't want to be taken for granted. We don't want people to think we a sucker. We don't want people to think we a pushover. Oh, you can't hurt me. You can't do that and get away with it. Oh, you got to pay for what you did. You owe me. They don't owe you nothing. I don't care who hurt you. I was saying all I want is for my daughter to apologize, to be sorry for what she did. Guess what? When she's sorry, she'll let me know she's sorry. Right now, she ain't sorry. So I could want her to apologize all day long. Is it going to change anything? No. I had to cry out to God and say, God, creating me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit, because, God, I see some pride. I see a spirit of entitlement. Yes, she did hurt me. God, she ripped my heart out of my chest, and I deserve an apology. Everything that I did for her, all of the sacrifices that I made for her, all of the demands and commands that she made and placed on me, God, I laid down and chose to let her walk over me. I humbled myself. I became the sacrifice, God. Oh, she owed me an apology. And you know what? Pride, haughtiness. Who did I think I was that she had to apologize to me for hurting me? Because God wanted me to look at the fact that she did all of this stuff because she was hurting and she was broken. But I was so self-absorbed with my hurt and my pain. We talking about creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be whole? Because the water is troubled tonight. This is a night of self-examination. It's not about nobody else but you. You and God, you and Jesus, and you and the Holy Spirit, and you and whoever you in a broken relationship with, and you got to get it right. Now, you may not be able to go to that person and tell them that you're sorry and ask for their forgiveness, but you could go to God and you could say, God, I know that this person did this to me, or God, I did this to that person, and I'm really, really sorry. I want to ask for forgiveness, God. Please forgive me for what I did to them. Please touch that person's heart and let them forgive me one day, God. Let that day be today so that they can release me from the debt that they think I owe them, God. And, Father, for those people that I can say I'm sorry to, let me give me holy boldness to be brave and to be strong and of good courage, God. Because you said if I trust you, God, that if I delight myself in you, God, that you would give me the desires of my heart. And the truth is, God, that I desire to be restored. I want to be whole. So I thank you for creating in me a clean heart, God. I thank you for teaching me how to forgive. I thank you for teaching me how to release those that have hurt me, God. And I thank you for tonight being a night of total freedom for me to release those that I have held responsible for my hurt and my pain. And God, I'm sorry for nursing that pain. I'm sorry for rehearsing it over and over. And I'm not going to talk about it no more because I received my forgiveness. And I'm going to leave it here with you. I'm not going to take it with me when I get off of this prayer line, God. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to apply Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, the 18 and 19 verses. I'm not going to remember those things, those painful things, God. I'm not going to rehearse them. I'm not going to nurse them. I'm going to let it go, but I'm going to be intentional about meditating on your word, God. For you said that I am to meditate on your word both day and night so that I may be prosperous and I may be successful. Father, you said that if we keep our minds stayed on you, that you would keep us in perfect peace. So show us, God, those things that we think about that still are peace, that still are joy, those things that still are love, our kindness, God. And help us to deal with the root issues. We want to deal with things at a molecular level, God, because we're talking about transformational healing in the name of Jesus. God, we don't want to be in this place. We don't want to stay in this place. We've been parked here long enough. We've been on this side of the mountain too long, God, and you're calling us to come forth, God. You're saying, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. And we thank you, God, for shining your light upon us. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for restoring us. We thank you for renewing in us a right spirit, oh God, and we thank you for creating in us a clean heart. In Jesus' name we thank
you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. That's enough to praise him right there. We thank
you,
God. Hallelujah. So, Annie, did you have anything you wanted to say before we get ready to go?
Thank you for the words. You knew it was for me, didn't you? You knew it was for me, didn't you? Oh, my God.
You know,
oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you. You don't know. Thank you.
It was for all of us, Annie. But I honestly, like I said, I did not prepare. This is what the Holy Ghost wanted. This is what was needed because we got to get it right, all of us. But I decree your healing. I decree wholeness to you. It is done. It is under the blood of Jesus, never to be spoken again, never to be bothered by it again. Break in the name of Jesus. I loose a fresh anointing upon you and a holy boldness to go forth, washed in the blood of the Lamb. When God look at you, all he see is the blood. He don't see nothing that you did. It is done. It is done. It is done. It is finished. In Jesus' name, no condemnation. No guilt, no negative expectancy, only positive expectancy. We all are going to move forward and do what God is calling us to do because our greater is coming. And that's what this is all about. We done worked hard. We done labored hard. We done suffered hard. Now God want to bless us. So you be encouraged, my sister.
I am. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I know you can't shout like I want you to, so I'm going to shout for you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, God! Hallelujah! And he can't praise you because her husband is asleep, God. But I praise you for her, God. Recover her, Shatta. I thank you for opening the windows of heaven, God. I thank you for pouring her out a blessing. It's going to be so deep, so wide. She will not have room enough to see Jesus. Hallelujah, God. I thank you for placing her in the fire, God. And the fire is going to protect her. Rikanda Rabashata. Protect her, oh God. Hide her under the shadow of your wings.
Thank you, God.
Where your truth is her shield and her buckler.
Thank you, God.
Father, hide Tori tonight under the shadow of your wings, where your truth is Tori's shield and buckler.
Thank you, God.
We thank you for your provisional care for Tori, God. We thank you for increasing Tori's faith tonight, God. We thank you for showing Tori who you are. We thank you, God, that he got a roof over his head. We thank you, God, that he had food to eat. We thank you, God, that you're going to supply all of his needs according to your riches and glory. And we thank you for his business. We thank you for his increase. We thank you for the finances. We thank you for the job. We thank you for the bids. We thank you for favor. We thank you for preferential treatment. We thank you for favor with God. We thank you for favor with man. We thank you that you're raising up somebody right now to bless him and to help him, God. We water his mother's seed right now in the name of Jesus. Every seed that Gertrude has sown into Tori's life, God. I call forth a hundredfold return in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you have called Tori out of the darkness into your marvelous light. And I thank you for letting his light so shine that men will see and they will glorify you. I thank you, Father God, for allowing Tori to trust you on a whole nother level. I thank you for letting him hear your voice. I thank you for ministering to him. I thank you for divine visitation. I thank you for speaking to him in his dreams. I thank you, Father God, for encouraging him. I thank you for great insight. I thank you for stirring up the spiritual gifts inside of him. I thank you for those things that's been happening that he don't quite understand. Speak to him, Holy Spirit. Lead and guide him to your word. And as he reads your word, bring that word alive in his life. I bind the spirit of unbelief and I loose the spirit of belief. And I thank you that you are going to blow his mind and that you are going to show him how awesome he is. Thank you for the witty ideas. Thank you for the goals. Thank you for the dreams. Thank you for the vision that you've given him. And Father, help him to take off all of the limitations, because all of Gertrude kids are successful and they are all entrepreneurs and they're doing well. And so Tori is next in line for a miracle, God. And we thank you in advance. We thank you for Annie's son, God. We thank you for Annie's grandchildren. We thank you for my children, God. I thank you for your word being fulfilled in their lives. I commit my children into your hands. I cover my children with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. I call my children out in the spirit realm. And I command you to respond to the word of God. I call forth a spirit of repentance. I decree 2 Chronicles 7:14 over their lives. And I thank you, Father God, that they will respond to your word in your perfect time. I pray that your will be done in their lives. I thank you for children all over this world, God. Those children that are rebellious, those children that are stiff-necked, those children that are stubborn, God. Those children that just want to do what they want to do, that are being led by the devil, God. Ro korobo siri kanda rabashata. Rikanda rabashata. We break every bloodline and generational curse right now in the name of Jesus. Show us all of the breaches, God, so that we could close those breaches. Jehovah Gabor, we call on you right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you would contend with those that are contending with our children. Fight against those that are fighting against our children. We ask that you would destroy the arrow, the bow, the shield in the battle.
battle in the mighty name of Jesus. You are the God of battles, and we trust you, oh God. We thank you that you are the God of recompense. You are a God of divine vindication. And we thank you for vindicating us. We thank you for defending us. We thank you for leading us. We thank you for guiding us. We thank you for washing us. We thank you for filling us. We thank you for renewing us. We thank you for restoring us, God. We thank you for making us over. We thank you for creating in us a clean heart. We thank you for renewing in us a right spirit, God. We thank you for cleansing us of all pride, God. We thank you for cleansing us of haughtiness, God. And we humble ourselves before you.
Yes, God.
We thank you for developing the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you for long suffering, God. We thank you for a gentle spirit. We thank you for love, God. We thank you for kindness. We thank you for self-control, God. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us to display your characteristics, God. We thank you for teaching us how to walk in love. We thank you for teaching us how to love the unlovable, God. We thank you, Father God, for teaching us how to humble ourselves. We thank you, Father God, for promoting other people higher than ourselves and lifting others higher than us, God. Thank you when we have the opportunity to bless someone, to let us bless them, God. Thank you for letting us be mindful of the poor and the needy and the widows, Father God, and the fatherless, God. Help us to be mindful of the homeless, God. We lift the homeless up to you right now in the name of Jesus, Father. Many of them are going to work every day, and Father, they're finding the best way they can to wash up and to shower and to bathe and to go to work clean and have clean clothes and to brush their hair and brush their teeth, God. We pray for them right now in the name of Jesus that wherever they go to sleep, God, that you will protect them, that you will watch over them. But, Father, we call for jobs. We call for homes, God. We thank you for all of the agencies, God. We pray for finances for these agencies. We thank you for letting them find placement for all of these places, this place, veterans, God. Father, we thank you for all of the homes that take care of veterans, and we thank you for letting the word get out there, God, that they have foster homes for veterans, just like they have foster homes for kids, God. And we thank you for placement for the veterans and placement for the children. Father, we give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. Show us the things that are on your heart and the things that are on your mind, and then show us the hot spots where you want us to go. Help us to get offline. Help us to get back into the community. Help us to do outreach. Help us to do evangelism. Help us to support missions, God. Help us to do the greater works that Jesus said that we would do. Help us to do great exploits, oh God, as we consecrate ourselves, as we present our bodies to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. Be pleased to use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We bless.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Your home,
thank you,
your
Stacey.
Family. Hi.
Jesus, thank you, girl. Thank you. Oh, God gave me that. Oh, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Listen, he said, I may not come when you want me, but I'll be there right on time. I'm on time. God, yes, I am. I feel good in my spirit, y'all.
I do too. I do too. Thank you. Because I was feeling so heavy and condemned. Oh, my God. Thank you.
And that's Romans 8 and 1 is your memory verse for the whole month of April.
Okay.
So write it on an index card, send yourself a text message, send yourself a calendar reminder throughout the day, and remind yourself there is therefore now no condemnation.
Holy word. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm going to send you text messages, too, and say, you know, just there is therefore now no condemnation. Hold your head up, Annie. God loves you, Annie. You got this. You walking on water. Hey! Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God about to do something. God about to do something. Something good is about to happen. Oh, my God. We thank you in advance. Thank you for what you're about to do in Gertrude's life, God. Thank you for the doors that are opening up for her. Thank you, God, for moving by your spirit, God. Thank you for what you're about to do in Dion's life, God. Thank you for blessing her shop. Thank you for bringing the barbers. Thank you for bringing the beauticians. Thank you for bringing the people, God. Thank you, God, for blessing everybody at the Rise and Shine for Jesus ministry. Thank you for blessing every ministry represented, God. Thank you for the overflow. Thank you for increase. Thank you for enlarging our territory. God, as you bless me, I thank you that you are going to bless those that have been faithfully supporting me, God. Thank you for enlarging the Rise and Shine for Jesus ministry. Thank you for taking us to the nations. Thank you for opening doors for me to minister. Thank you for opening doors for me to preach and teach your word, God. Thank you for my seminars, God. Thank you for the workshops, God. Thank you for the retreats, God. Thank you for the prayer crusade that's on my heart, God. Show me what to do and how to do it, God. Show me the ones that you want me to invite, God. We thank you for the city of Philadelphia, God. We pray for a great revival to break forth, God. Let it be contagious. Let it go to New York. Let it go to Georgia, God. Let it reach all of our cities, God. Rikanda Rabashata. We call forth a spirit of revival right now in the name of Jesus. Revive us, oh God. Touch us right now in the name of Jesus. Father, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to call on you. Teach us, Father God, how to pray the things that are on your heart and the things that are on your mind. Teach us how to carry, God. Teach us how to go before you, God, and not worry about the time, not worry about the hour, but to pray without ceasing, God. That's what you called us to do. So we thank you, God. We call forth the intercessors tonight. We thank you for touching the intercessors, God, and allowing them to pray the things that are on your heart and the things that are on your mind. In Jesus' name. Praise the thanksgiving in our heart. And we thank you for keeping your hand upon us so that we will know no harm, God. Father, we thank you that we are going to boldly apply your word to our lives that says, behold, I give unto you power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Father, you said nothing shall by any means harm us, but we believe your word. We are in agreement with what you said.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I done did three closings tonight. That was the third close. So
you Baptist. Yeah, you Baptist. Yeah, that's it, three. You know they have to do three now.
Woo! And I got to say, he got up on the third day. With all power, he had all power in his hand. That's what they do, but hallelujah, God. It's good to laugh.
It is. My husband just said I woke him up, Jesus.
Oh, okay.
But he don't know. He don't know. He doesn't know what it did for me.
Oh,
you
I
know. You hit on something when you said hidden.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Things in secret and temporary places have hidden price tags.
Yeah, but
I thank God because I was like, Lord, I don't know. I just wasn't feeling worthy, but I thank God.
Okay.
I thank God. Girl, that word. Ooh, that word from. Ooh, Jesus. If that wasn't from the throne.
Well. I thank God for what he's doing.
Ooh, thank God.
And I love y'all and have a blessed night.
We love you too. Thank you so much.
Amen.
You're welcome. All right.
Let you
everybody say amen.
Girl, you got to go.
I know, and I'm wired up. I'm still sitting in the car. I didn't want to go in the garage, so I got to put the car in the garage. And y'all know I really want to go to work because I need some things not going to get paid tomorrow, and I don't want my account to go in the negative.
Watch
so I need a miracle. but I'm too tired to go to sleep. Oh, I'm stepping out in faith. And yeah. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. So, to God be the glory.
God got you.
Woo! Amen.
Gotcha.
Do it, Jesus.
Thank God when my gave head, that word to give to me.
When my thank head touch that pillow, God, let me go to sleep. Look, I feel drunk in the spirit, for real, for real.
And you're outside, right? You're outside.
I'm in my car, but I'm in the driveway. I'm not going to drive, Gertrude. I'm going to go in the house.
I just asked.
Go in there and go to sleep.
I am.
Go in there and go to sleep.
You probably woke up the whole neighborhood by now, though.
Look, probably did. I know they said, well, I'm glad she in her car and not in the house. But you know what? It might have resounded louder out here, though.
Yeah.
No, well, more, honey.
Praise the Lord.
To
they
anybody
had
anybody else, but it helped me.
Well, praise the Lord. They had church tonight. Praise God.
Amen. They did.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever know. I was talking to my kids the other day about loving each other and treating each other right. And one of the little girls said, Miss Moore, you sound like a preacher. So we have to encourage. We encourage others when we share the word. Yes, ma'am. But, girl, you don't know what you did. You don't know what. Ooh, like, oh, my God. You don't know.
Amen. And you know what? Yeah. And I didn't know, but the Holy Ghost knew.
Ooh, I'm telling you. That's why I said that was great from the hun. Ooh.
The Holy Ghost knew.
Ooh.
He knows the things that we don't know. And look, thank God he don't reveal our secrets.
Mm.
He keep our secrets safe.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's a prayer, that's a key prayer point, you know, mm-hmm. that we need to offer thanksgiving to God and thank him that he don't uncover us the way we uncover one another. And that's true. I was debating, like earlier today, that was something that I was working on. But I'm going to share that for another day. But love covers a multitude of sins. But if we are constantly condemning one another and exposing one another instead of covering one another, you know, we're called to be ministers of reconciliation. And that means we restore our brothers and sisters that fall short of the glory of God. We restore them in love. We really got to get back to the word of God. And, you know, if you don't know it, the apostolic mantle that's upon my life, my ministry, the ministry that God gave me, correction, not my ministry, the ministry that God gave me is built on the word of God. So you guys have been on ground level. And you've been right here from, like, in a good place. But when he loosed me, and Gertrude, you've been saying it ain't time. But when God loosed me to go forth and preach this word, it's going to transform lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's going to transform nations. And he gave me greater revelation of that earlier today. And so all of the changes that are taking place in my life right now, the healing, the deliverance, this new place that I'm in, dedicating more time to him, and getting in the word, I have to. Because if I don't, I'll be empty. I won't have anything to give. But that
mm-hmm.
goes for all of us. We need to eat that word every chance we get. And so, you know,
amen.
Just continue to pray for me, because some doors are going to start opening. Change is going to come. I got so healed today, earlier today, so delivered. And I just been like on fire all day. And I was praying, and this truly is a testimony. I was praying. Let me open the garage so y'all can hear me going in, so y'all won't be saying she went dry. Hold on.
Hello?
Yeah.
I was too close to the side and I hit my car.
Lay hands on it.
Let me back up a little bit. Okay, so I did my shift earlier at work, and so, let me put it in part, coming home, going back to the office, I do my shift, and then, like, the manager is giving me clerical administrative work to do, and he's getting ready to train me to, like, be a dispatcher and to help out. So one of the guys called out, and they didn't have anyone to cover the run. So he asked me to do it, and it was an hour and 45 minutes away from the job. So, and I didn't complain. I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And I didn't know where I was going, you know, and it was a total, it was a country ride. It was the most peaceful, beautiful ride ever. And I said, you know what? I am going to pray in the spirit all the way till I get to my first stop, because I had two stops. I had to go to Mooresville, and I had to go to Binsella. So I prayed in the spirit all the way there. And I remember when I told everyone, I said, start praying at least 1 hour a day in the spirit. So I haven't, like, been faithfully doing it every day. But today I did it. And I'm telling you, the anointing fell upon me so heavy. But I started singing in the spirit. But then I started, like, moaning and groaning in the spirit. And then this crazy cry came out. And I began to cry like never before. And God brought different people before me that I needed to, like, let go. And I got the coughing and everything and purging in the car. And I had two cups of water and one was empty. And this was while I'm driving on the highway, and I got the cup and I'm purging, and I mean throwing up. I couldn't even pull over to the side of the road, but God kept me safe. And I said, God, whatever it is, bring it up. And so he was giving me things to say, and I'm saying it. And this took place for about maybe a good 30 minutes, not consistently, but like, I would purge, then I would still pray, and I would purge, and I would pray. And then I was burping, and I was farting, and I said, my God, there's some serious deliverance taking place tonight. So then when I got myself together, I started praying again, and then I started singing again, and then I was praying in the spirit, and then I was, you know, giving God back his word. I mean, it was so powerful. But even when I got to my first stop, I get in the car, I'm praying in the spirit again. I'm singing in the spirit. Go to the next stop. The lady spoke blessings on me before I left, and she was like, be safe going home. And I was like, thank you so much. I get in the car. I'm quiet. I'm just listening to what the spirit is saying. So Gertrude, on the way going, I listened to the message about the potholes with Cheryl Brady. And that thing truly, truly blessed my heart. So I'm meditating on that. I'm thinking about the potholes. And she talked about resentment a lot. I'm going to play that probably for second Thursday, play that message on the prayer line. But anyway, I'm on my way home, and guess what? I'm praying in the spirit, y'all. I'm singing in this. I sang in the spirit almost all the way home. So now I'm getting to the part of the highway where it's dark, and I'm getting tired. I'm getting sleepy. The heat was getting to me. So it was like, okay, open up the windows, and I felt rejuvenated. But I got to that job, and I was like, I wish that I lived right here, because when you give out like that, you're really tired. And then for me to be driving all day, working in the office, and then driving again, I've been driving all night. I can't drive Lyft at night if I wanted to, because my body is saying, you need to lay down. But the point I'm making is I chose to pray in the spirit, and to spend that time driving and driving back with God. And this is the result. So I'm going to do that every day. Huh?
I said it's a great partner to drive with.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm ready to take like a long distance ride. Like maybe we could go to Canada. And go.
Know.
I'm serious. And go to Niagara Falls. I mean, I
like
driving is so peaceful. It's so relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I tell you the views that I saw today, it was phenomenal. Pennsylvania is beautiful. But and then all of these mansions I was seeing and farmlands. And I mean, it was just beautiful. So I hope you guys had a good day. And I hope that y'all hear the joy in my heart because it feels good to be free.
Amen.
And I want to keep it. I want to maintain it. I'm like, let it flow, God. Let it flow. Because it's my time.
Yes, it is.
So thank y'all for loving on me.
There's a song. It's called It's My Time by Reverend Barnes. If you get an opportunity, listen to it. The Lord told me that song in 2009. It's my time.
Song.
It's your time. Reverend Barnes, Luther Barnes, I think it is.
Luther Barnes' father?
I guess so, yeah. It's your time.
Okay.
It's a good song. You like it?
Okay. I'll listen to it when I get in the house and make me, warm my plate up.
And you're going to stay for another hour.
No, but I need to eat. I didn't eat since this morning.
You stay up another hour.
Oh, the song. Oh, okay. But look, what time is it anyway? Because I even if I go to sleep, I got to get up at 12 o'clock for 12. Huh?
11 o'clock.
Oh, shoot.
Wow.
I only got an hour because I got to do the 12 o'clock prayer. So if y'all up, just call me back because I'm going to be praying at 12. But I probably only pray for an hour.
What, on this line?
No, just on my regular line.
Okay.
If you up, just call me on my house phone. And then, and Annie, if you up, then we could just do a three-way. Or, if like everybody know we doing this, but everybody been praying from their house. But if anybody, if it's too many people, we could switch to the prayer line.
Okay.
But for right now, just call me on my phone.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Love y'all.
All right. You too.
All right. Good night.
Okay. Good night.